Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones. Here's Steve Jones.
Privilege to be here today, as always, as we welcome you. Did I lose you there, or did you just fade that out? There you go. Probably lost you there. I only say it because we've had a power outage here today.
Yeah, and I think you need, yeah, I think you need to do a board there, reset there, bud.
No, I don't.
I'm getting myself
I'm getting myself back. Well, that's your fault, not mine.
I don't think it is this time. I think it's your board.
Reset yourself.
I think I am. Ah, that's better.
Okay.
That's better. That's much better.
Every day with you. Every day. Yeah. Every day.
Well, you got to stop having power outages out there. You know what?
Yeah. Yeah, the storm that came through here, woo, it was a beauty.
Is that the one that is that the one that hit us about lunchtime then? That was pretty wicked.
No, this one hit at lunchtime here.
Yeah, we had it one just after lunch. Yeah, it was about an hour later.
Oh, we've got another one coming in during the show.
I just saw the alert go up for Perry County, as a matter of fact, which obviously isn't your county, but it's in that direction.
What?
Okay, it's a little bit. It's south, but it's west of. It's west of me.
What map do you look at?
It's west of me. Okay.
Perry County. Come on. Come on, man.
Yes, I know you're in the center county.
Yes. Well done. Well done. And we drive on 45, you go through the exact center of the state. That's Aaronsburg. How about that? Ooh.
I did know that, actually.
Good. All right. Tom Brady is meeting with the commissioner today. There's never a shortage of any stories. Have you noticed that? There's never any shortage of stories. Tom Brady meets with the commissioner. A lot of this with him, a lot of this doesn't pass the smell test. I mean, a lot of this to me doesn't pass the smell test. Brady's part doesn't quite pass the smell test. The two Patriot employees doesn't quite pass the smell test. The officiating crew doesn't pass the smell test. The Colts don't quite pass the smell test. And Ted Wells doesn't quite pass the smell test. None of them do. None of them. Big rumble of thunder. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. Big rumble of thunder here.
Cumberland County just issued a warning. That's not where you're at either, I know.
Yeah. I mean, none of it passes the smell test. With Brady, my guess is going to be this. If I'm guessing, hey, look, get him as low as you can get him. Okay. Get them as low as you can get them, you know, because there's a high and a low when it comes to a football. There's a high and a low. Well, get them as low as you can. Well, what does that mean? It's very generic. The employees. All right, get them as low as you can get them, and like we only have a short period of time, and maybe we got one too low. I don't know. Okay. The officials. Not passing the smell test. Big time. You're going to tell me they checked all of the footballs before the game? And with a gauge? Really? And as I pointed out before, and I'll take it one step further, the officials, three officials, literally two hands, handle the football on every single play. In fact, on the rather nefarious play that everyone talks about, do you realize that six people on that play handled the football? The center, Brady, the interceptor, oh, and the three officials that put that ball into play. So you're telling me that if there are 45 snaps and a half for each team, 45 for the Patriots and 45 for the Colts, that three officials, because they'll take it from the sideline, middle guy, then flips it, you know, and the umpire will put the ball down. You're going to tell me that after handling the Patriots footballs in a series and then suddenly handling the Colts footballs on the very next series, they didn't notice the difference between them? Really? If it's that dramatic, really? Remember, on the ball that was intercepted that they claim is the one that tipped everybody off, three officials handled that football to put it in play. Then the ball was picked off, brought to the sideline. Now a Colts football has to come in. The three officials that bring the ball in didn't notice the difference? No one's talked about this. No one has talked about this. Why? Because the NFL needs to have the officials off the hook. Okay? Ted Wells. Okay, why isn't he past the smell test? Number one, the one thing that he has done very well in this case is he has cashed the check. That they've done to perfection. It is a report that says, well, kind of, sort of, we think, yeah, well, yeah, sort of. Okay. Now let's contrast that with the Dowd report on Pete Rose. You know what the Dowd report on Pete Rose has in it? Hard and fast written evidence. That's the difference. Dow does put in a suspicion about Rose betting on games as a player in his interviews that he has done, that he had done with Ron Peters and Paul Jansen. But he only puts that in there, but says there is no supporting physical evidence for it. Okay. When it comes to betting as a manager, he puts in supporting evidence. The betting slips, the phone records from the Reds clubhouse. That's the difference between these two reports. I am never wowed by reports that say, we interviewed 5,280 people. Okay. Did you talk to the right six? That's all I need to know.
My favorite part of this whole thing is the deflator that gets talked about is a guy who is just on a diet losing weight.
Right. I understand.
That's a hard one for me to believe.
Yeah, well, I mean, but, you know, the difference is I'm neutral in this. You are not. You're not. See, you're
I'm
never
tainted.
Neutral. No, you're never a neutral party on this. And that you know, when it comes to stuff like this, that becomes a little bit difficult on the show because you're not a neutral party. Okay? You flat out don't like the club. I don't care about the club.
I like the player. I don't like the club.
I don't like, you know, I could care less about the Patriots. I could care less about, I mean, I'm happy for Brady. It looks like he's got a great life. it's fine. But if Brady is found to be suspended after the appeal, Adam Schefter firmly feels it's going to court.
I don't think the NFL wants that to happen, though.
No, I don't think they want that to happen either. Bob Costas believes it'll be reduced to 2 games. I think it might go to 4 weeks, which entails 3 games because there's a bye week in there. But here it is, June 23rd, and we're still talking about this stupid thing. I realize integrity in sports means, I mean, you can't do anything and have the number of people watching sports unless they believe what they're seeing. Thus, the integrity part is important. In the scheme of things, here it is, June 23rd, and we're still talking about whether or not the PSI in a football was proper back in January, and it's a big story. Here it is, June of 2015, 1 year later, and we're trying to, you know, figure out how awful it is that two rogue employees for the Cardinals tapped into the Astros thing. And my understanding is, from what I understand about the Astros-Cardinals thing, all right, is that they remember they put out some information a year ago that embarrassed the GM and embarrassed the Astros? To me, one of the key parts of all of this is that evidently they have a treasure trove of information, and they only elected to do that because they accomplished their goal. Yet that's a gigantic story that we talk about over and over and over. Pete Rose, the Pete Rose situation, I mean, what were you when Pete Rose did all this? 26 years, so what were you? You were a teenager?
Actually, what, 89 was when he got banned, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, I had just graduated high school.
Yeah. It was... It was known to many that Pete Rose was selling whatever he could get his hands on in the 70s because he was in debt. If you read the Dowd report, it will tell you in the Dowd report specifically that Rose was approximately $400,000 in debt. Jason Starkmade, who's been on our show before, has made some interesting comments about Pete Rose and whether or not he should be in the Hall of Fame. We'll discuss those comments in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
All right, great to be with you on this Tuesday. Pete Rose, Jason Stark made some very interesting comments about Pete Rose on ESPN, which he's made. So Jason is as respected as anybody when it comes to. I know that when we had him on the show, you know, it was just fun talking to him because he just loves baseball. And he's passionate about baseball. And he made comments about the Royals and the All-Star game, which, again, I don't care how many Royals start the All-Star game. I really don't. By the way, Cole Hamels and the Rangers appear to be the discussion right now, just so you know. That's the big trade talk right now, the Texas Rangers and the Phillies about Cole Hamels.
Yeah, I didn't hear who the Phillies were looking at, though, in that deal or in that possible deal.
Well, it's minor league players. I mean, it's not, okay? So you're not going to know anybody you get. Jason Starks in the All-Star game. The rest of civilization is not going to look at this development as a heartwarming revival of baseball spirit. It's going to look at this development as a ballot rigging campaign by people who don't care that millions of Americans now wish the Royals would revert back to going to 58 and 104. I thought that was good.
It's a little cold, but funny.
Well, I could see a couple of Kansas City Royals starting the game, but not seven. but it's irrelevant. They look, this entire All-Star game is about one person and one person only. The entire All-Star game is about one person and one person only. And that's Pete Rose. Okay, he was going to be the central figure of this All-Star game to begin with before any of this happened. And TJ Quinn, who's a part of the group that put this report together, was asked a direct question. Did somebody just come forward because now Pete's back in the news and say, you know, hey, whatever? He said, nope. He said, because Pete's back in the news, they asked us to look into it one more time to see. He said, and we didn't have to pay a single dime for any information. Nobody even asked for any money at all. They offered it up. How about that one? Jason Stark in the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame needs to re-examine what it is. I don't think you can have a Hall of Fame that doesn't have the all-time hits leader, the all-time home run leader, the winningest right-handed pitcher in the live ball era. To me, we should just have honesty on the plaques. Pete Rose got more hits than anyone who ever lived. But I don't see it heading in that direction. He says the Hall of Fame ought to be a history museum. What do history museums do? They tell the story of a period of time in history, Jason Stark writes. He says the good and the bad. If I were running the Hall of Fame, I would have a Hall of Fame that has Pete Rose in, has Barry Bonds in, has Roger Clemens in, and let people figure it out for themselves as to what happened. Well, the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown is a combination Hall of Fame and museum. There are exhibits that have Pete Rose memorabilia in there. Do you realize that? Pete Rose, I mean, there have been people that have been very mixed about, like, saying, I thought he was banned from baseball going into the museum when they look. No, there, you know, for example, there's an exhibit in there on the big red machine of 75 and 76, and there's Pete Rose's uniform, bat, glove, the whole thing. For anybody to see, that's part of history. Pete Rose getting 4,256 hits, part of history. So Pete Rose is part of the museum. He's just not in the Hall of Honor, the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose brought excellence to the field. Absolute excellence to the field. Played hard, worked hard, all out, did what he was asked to do, played second base, rookie of the year, played left field, played right field, played third base when they needed him to, played first base. Wherever he could fit in to get on the baseball field, he played. But what Pete Rose did not in the end do, while bringing excellence to the field, he did not bring honor to the game. I will explain that last part in its entirety from a personal point of view in a few moments. Bottom of the hour, news coming up. Kevin, by the way, hoping Brady eventually does play earlier because he's his fantasy quarterback.
I'm hoping for a one-game suspension. It works perfectly for me. Doesn't play the Steeler game. I only have to sit him out for a week.
Do your friends ever wonder why your name's not on the show?
No, not at all.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve talking about Deflategate and what the commissioner has heard today. I guess there was a four-hour time limit on Brady's, I don't know if you call it interview, but anyway, there was a four-hour time limit. And there is no word on when will hear a decision from the commissioner. I think the last one he was in on where he was reevaluating everything, that's the best way you could put it, is reevaluating it. The punishment was like May 28th, and we still haven't heard anything on that one yet. So use your judgment on when you think this one might be handled. Of course, the latest discussion has been with the Pete Rose situation, and Steve was talking about that a few moments ago.
We love Pete. Pete's been great for talk shows.
It has. It's been a great story.
All right, look, I'll bring a little different perspective on the Pete Rose Hall of Fame thing. Obviously, a guy like Jason Stark has been around Hall of Famers all of his life. He, you know, and so there's no disrespect to his opinion in the least. And I see where he's coming from. Mike Schmidt has been Pete Rose's biggest supporter. But at the same time, I work with two guys that are Hall of Famers. Dick Girardi was put into the Basketball Writers Association Hall of Fame last year. He's won the Eclipse Award. And as great a writer as Dick Girardi is, I think he's an even better basketball broadcaster and analyst. Obviously, I'm going to be very prejudiced toward the people I work with, very much so. But I watch other games. I listen to other games, especially on Sirius. I'll listen to a lot of games. And there's nobody better than he is. He has brought excellence to the keyboard. He has brought excellence to the broadcasting profession. And he's also brought honor to it. Then there's Jack Ham. Jack Ham has been successful at everything he's ever done. College football player, College Football Hall of Fame. Pro football player, Pro Football Hall of Fame. He has his own business, successful. And he's an incredibly successful broadcaster. He's outstanding. Again, the same story. I get very spoiled. I'll watch games on TV now or listen to them on Sirius. And it's difficult at times for me to listen because they are not of the same caliber as to the person I'm working with. Jack Ham brought excellence to the field, but he also has brought honor to all of the professions he's worked in. Pete Rose brought excellence to the field. Has he brought honor to the profession? That's my standard. He brought excellence to the field. Can't dispute that in any way, shape, or form. Did he bring honor to the profession? Barry Bonds brought excellence to the field. Did Barry Bonds bring honor to the profession? And I don't mean one moment of indiscretion. Juan Marichal, we all know what happened with Johnny Roseborough. But that was a moment. I'm not going to let one moment blow up an entire career. Excellence is one thing. To me, bringing honor to the profession is the other part of it. Did you bring honor to the profession? Did you enhance the profession by your presence? He brought excellence to it. Did he bring honor to it? He hasn't brought honor to it. Now, has he now served? Yeah. His punishment is time. That's something we can debate. It took him 15 years to admit he bet on games as a manager. As I pointed out, anybody who thinks, but he bet on his own team. All right. That's not a valid argument. Here's the reason why. Kevin Herr's my relief pitcher. He's my closer. I pitched him on Saturday. I need to get a save. I pitched him on Sunday. I need to get a save. I pitched him last night. He needed to get a save. Now, as the manager, it is my job to manage the moment, to manage the game, but I also have to manage the season. In order to have Kevin Herr effective, potentially effective for me in August, because that's part of the season, I really do need to have him out of tonight's lineup and not close the game for me. I need to tell him, hey, look, you're not picking up a baseball today. Except here's the problem. I bet on us to win tonight. Uh-oh. Now I've got one out, bases loaded in the eighth inning. And I've got a few thousand dollars riding on this game. I need Kevin to come in and get me a five-out save. Well, I know he's worked the last four. Nah, I need five outs here. Guess what? Now, do I have Kevin Herr to pitch for me in August? By the way, do I have Kevin Herr to pitch for me next year? Or the year after? Did I, through misuse, because I had money on games, take a potential 10 to 15 year career and suddenly make it a 4-year career? You know, circumstances enter into this in all sorts of ways, but misuse of a player, especially a pitcher. Remember what they did to Billy Martin when he managed the Oakland A's with that young pitching staff? He said he burned out all the arms. That's why, and now here's the next part. You read the Dowd report. The Dowd report throws in a specific figure that it was estimated that Rose was $400,000 in debt. It was not unknown to anybody that Pete Rose in the 70s and the 80s was selling anything that he had that he wore in a game. Uniform, a hat, a bat, glove, to get money. Everybody. It's pretty universal that he was an understanding he was doing that. Still does it today. And when you're that in debt and you read this report from the postal inspectors, that the people he was dealing with had connections to the mob. Well, if you're placing bets with individuals that have those kind of connections and you fall behind, they've got you. Pete, you want to even the score? Want to take a big step toward evening the score? What do you need? You're not going to win tonight. No. I think we have a good chance. I think we'll win. No. You don't understand. You're not winning tonight. Well, what do you mean we're not winning tonight? I can't do that. I can't play to lose. Do you want to even the score? Do you want to have the ability to continue playing the game? You're going to figure out a way to make sure they don't win tonight. Ball suddenly goes out of your glove. Ball goes underneath your glove. Couple runners on, scoring position, rare strikeout. That can be strike three called, you know, you can argue it. It'll look good. But you're not winning tonight. Once you're that in debt with the wrong people, they've got you. John Dowd was trying to see in a compressed period of time whether or not Pete Rose had bet on baseball as a player. He had interview testimony with Paul Jansen and Ron Peters. But he didn't have documentation like the documentation we're seeing now. When it came to betting as a manager, John Dowd had documentation. He had the betting slips. He had the phone records from the Reds clubhouse. He had documentation. He didn't need interviews. He had documentation. And baseball rule, okay, there's no rule in baseball on PEDs about banishment. None. It's in the collective bargaining agreement that if you're found to have tested positive once, you get 50 games. Two, it's 100. Okay, it's in the collective bargaining agreement. But baseball rule 21 is very specific that, you know, it doesn't have to be that only bet on 162 games or you bet on one. All you have to do is bet on one game, even to win, on one game, and rule 21 says you're done. That rule's there. It's been there for decades, rule 21. That's all they needed was to have one to ban him. They had multiples, but all they needed was one. The Hall of Fame is an interesting situation. There's no question at all. Pete Rose brought excellence to the field. But there's also that additional step. Did he bring honor to the game? And I don't mean having a bad moment, an indiscretion, something like that. I mentioned Juan Marichal. And you don't think Don Drysdale and Bob Gibson hit guys? That doesn't exactly bring, you know, but those are moments. Betting on the game is dishonor. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I want to point out something that there's a guy passing through our area right now on Interstate 80 that I think is one of the brightest executives in television and actually does a great job hosting his own show. And he spoke today at Penn State, Andy Cohen, who is a huge St. Louis Cardinals fan. Spoke today at Penn State. Andy has been, I mean, look, he is, for those of you who go around and see the shows on TV on Bravo, Real Housewives of Selins Grove, things like that, Real Housewives of Danville.
There's one I don't want to miss.
Right. But he's the genius behind all this. And he has his own show every night, Watch What Happens Live. Andy drove from New York to State College today through the storm. Spoke at the Penn State at 1:30 to 2:30, and then is driving back to New York. He has a show tonight, and I know he's right about now he'd be passing through our area. So we salute one of the great St. Louis Cardinal fans in America, and Andy Cohen. Andy, give us a call. We'd love to hear you. He's sitting in the car right now saying, well, what number, idiot? 800-795-9565. 800. It's toll-free, 800-795-9565. Actually, cut his teeth working with Aaron Moriarty at CBS News. Very good. The guy really, look, you have to give people credit in when they really succeed as much as a guy like this has succeeded, and he has. He's a huge success. Huge success. So... Andy rolling through the area. Right about now, he'd be rolling through the area. So on I-80 going back to New York after being at the Penn Stater today.
And a belated happy birthday to Andy.
Yes.
Less than a month ago.
Yes, less than a month ago to Andy Cohen. One of the, you know, again, when it look, in this business, he has worked his way through the ranks. And you know what? Give credit where credit is due. He's found ways to put programming out there that a lot of people like. Not bad. And does a great job in his own show. All right. The Pete Rose thing, you had your take. We usually do that stuff on the after show, but go ahead.
Well, my take is I've heard a lot of people make the comment, well, we have guys that do PEDs in the Hall of Fame. Why not Pete Rose?
I don't think there should. I mean, there's some validity to that question. Why do you have a guy?
Except who's in the Hall of Fame that did PEDs?
Well, no, they said you can be in. Did I say they were in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you could be in the Hall of Fame.
Right. There's nobody that's come close.
You're right. I misspoke. Thanks for correcting that, because that's true. But you can be found guilty, or if you want to put it that way, of using PEDs and be in the Hall of Fame. In Pete Rose's situation, he cannot, because he disgraced baseball. That's one of the reasons for the rule. How is somebody eligible for the Hall of Fame for the same reason?
Here's the difference. Pete Rose broke a specific rule.
Exactly.
He broke the specific rule 21 that brings with it banishment. It is very specific. You read rule 21, it's very specific. And all he had to do was wager on one game, and he's done.
No, I you're exactly right, and that's exactly that's where the difference lies. But I also agree that anybody that disgraces the game shouldn't be in the Hall.
Right. Now, PED use and testing now for it specifically is a collective bargaining agreement situation, believe it or not.
Yeah, I still can't figure that out.
Well, I mean, that's where the drug testing part comes up.
I understand, but right, here's what we're going to do.
Well, they have that, okay? If you're caught once, it's 50 games. It's two, it's 100. If it's, you know, I mean, they have specific games outlined. I mean, and it started in the minor leagues. Even here with the state college spikes, there was a young man named Brett Wiley who was suspended for 50 games. Well, it turned out last year, midway through the year, he came back because he'd served his 50 games, and then he played the rest of the season here. And he, you know, and it was, and believe me, it wasn't one of those. I think he took some cold medicine or something like that and had some substance, whatever. Okay. It was not one of those, oh my goodness, look how big Brett looks. No.
I do have a question, though. If we have rules on if you cheat with PEDs, here's what happens, because we've collectively bargained for it. What about, is there anything in the collective bargaining agreement about players who doctor the baseball?
Yes.
Or cork the bat? Why is there?
Actually, doctoring the baseball is ejection from the game, and then after that, it's up to the commissioner as to whether there's a suspension and a fine. Doctoring a bat is ejection from the game, and then because you've been ejected from the game, you're then subject to further discipline by the league.
I can't understand.
That's the same thing, Kevin. Is I go out and I get in the umpire's face and I bump him.
Right.
Well, I'm ejected from the game. Well, now it's subject to further discipline by the league. That's a different thing. Doctoring the baseball, bat, arguing with the umpire, all bring with them ejections. And then once you're ejected, you are subject to further discipline by the league, including fines and suspensions.
I just find it funny that we have rules for how we're going to handle cheating in baseball, and we bargain it. That makes no sense to me.
What you talking about the collector on drugs?
Yeah. Yeah. No, on PEDs, performance enhancing.
Yeah, but that's part of, drugs, period. I mean, players are suspended for drug use, cocaine, heroin, PEDs. It's all in the same thing. There's no difference.